tired of making trading decisions based on gut feelings. Or maybe just the latest buzz online.
Yeah, that can be a recipe for disaster.
Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Thick.
Today, we're setting intuition aside and, well, diving headfirst into data-driven trading and investing.
Exactly. We're talking about using cold, hard numbers.
Right. We want to explore how that systematic analysis can lead to, hopefully, smarter, more consistent decisions. And this applies across different markets, right? Like Forex, stocks,
crypto, you name it. It's about moving beyond just pure speculation and building a proper systematic approach.
Okay.
Our goal here is really to show you how you can construct a robust framework for your trading, something backed by data, giving you more confidence.
Okay, so let's unpack that.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like before you even glance at a chart or a number, you need to know what you're aiming for.
Absolutely fundamental.
Our sources really hammer this home. Success starts with setting really clear, focused goals. And not just, I want to make money, but specific objectives. Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound, that SMART framework.
The classic SMART goals, yeah. They really apply here.
And apparently, actually writing these down in a trading plan, that's key.
It really is. It sounds basic, maybe. But having unrealistic expectations is such a common pitfall. People jump in thinking they'll double their money overnight.
Right.
And think of it like this. You wouldn't start a road trip without knowing the destination, would you?
No, probably not.
It's the same idea. Without clear, realistic goals, how do you even know if your strategy is working? The plan keeps you disciplined, aligned with your bigger financial picture, and importantly, your comfort with risk.
Okay. Destination set. Plan in hand. What's the fuel for this data journey?
Yep.
It has to be the data itself.
That's the core of it.
So how do we get this data? Our sources talk about several ways. First up, APIs, application programming interfaces.
Mm-hmm.
Explain those a bit. It sounds like a kind of digital messenger, bringing back price updates automatically.
That's a great way to put it. An API lets your software talk directly to the data source, like an exchange or a broker.
Okay.
So you get automated feeds, prices, volume, whatever you need streamed right to your system. Crucial for any kind of automated or algorithmic trading.
And there are specific ones,
mm-hmm.
like broker APIs, Binance for crypto, Alpha Vantage.
Yeah, lots of options now. And what's really interesting is how APIs have sort of democratized access to this real-time data. It used to be much harder to get.
Right.
For algo trading, you need that instant reaction capability without human delay or emotion getting in the way. APIs make that possible.
Okay. Besides APIs, there are the trading platforms and services many people use already, right? Like MetaTrader, Thinkorswim.
Exactly. Those often come with integrated data feeds and charting tools built right in. Very convenient.
And then at the sort of higher end, the professional tier, you've got the big names like Bloomberg and Refinitiv.
Yeah, the institutional powerhouses.
Yeah.
The data quality and tools are top-notch, but as you'd expect, they come with a pretty hefty price tag.
Makes sense.
Definitely geared towards professionals and institutions.
But there are free options, too, like YahooFinanceInvesting.com.
There are, and they can be great starting points, especially for, you know, getting a general feel for the market or doing basic research.
But there's a catch.
The big caveat is always data quality. You really need to double check how accurate and clean that free data is, especially if you're going to base serious trading decisions or backtesting on it.
Reliability often tracks with cost, then.
Generally speaking, yes. You often get what you pay for when it comes to financial data.
And just quickly, there's manual data entry. Sounds painful.
Chuckles slightly. Yeah, it's pretty much obsolete for quantitative analysis now. Highly time consuming, super prone to errors.
Okay.
Maybe okay for like jotting down notes in a qualitative journal, your feelings about a trade, why you took it, but not for raw price data. Just too inefficient and risky.
Got it. Stick to automated feeds where possible. So, okay. The data is coming in. Now, what do we actually do with it? We need tools for analysis.
Right, the analysis toolkit.
And surprisingly, maybe the humble spreadsheet Excel, Google Sheets, gets a mention.
Absolutely. Don't underestimate the spreadsheet. For basic analysis, logging trades, simple calculations, even some straightforward backtesting, they're incredibly versatile and accessible.
Most people know how to use them, at least a bit.
Exactly. It's a fantastic entry point for organizing data and starting to make sense of it. For many individual traders, honestly, it may be enough.
But if you're dealing with huge data sets or want to do more complex stuff, automate things,
then you probably need to step up your game. That's where programming languages come in. Python is hugely popular in finance now.
With libraries like Pandas, NumPy, Scikit-Learn, I hear those names a lot.
Yeah, those are the workhorses for data manipulation, numerical computing, and machine learning in Python. R is another language, very strong in statistics, with packages like QuantMod.
Is there a steep learning curve there?
There is, admittedly. It takes time and effort to become proficient. But the payoff is immense flexibility and power. You can build sophisticated models, automate complex strategies.
Really unlocks a higher level of analysis.
For sure. If you're serious about advanced data-driven trading, learning Python or R is a very worthwhile investment.
And then, just to complete the picture, those professional platforms like Bloomberg?
Right. They offer the whole package, integrated data, advanced analytics, execution, news, everything in one place. Industry standard for institutions.
But again, that cost factor.
Exactly. Prohibitively expensive for most individuals.
Okay, this next part seems really important, but maybe easy to gloss over. Data preparation. It's not just about getting the data.
Oh, absolutely critical, often underestimated.
You have to get it into shape first. Structuring it consistently, timestamps, time zones, the right format, like those OHLCV tables, open, high, low, close, volume.
Consistency is everything. Imagine trying to compare prices recorded in different time zones without standardizing them first. Your analysis would be completely off.
That makes sense.
It's foundational. Getting that structure right from the start saves so much headache later.
And then cleaning it. Dealing with missing values gaps, maybe due to holidays or feed issues.
Yep, you need a strategy for handling those. Do you fill them? How? Or just exclude that period?
And correcting errors. Bad price ticks, weird spikes.
Happens all the time. You need processes to identify and correct or remove those outliers so they don't skew your results.
And adjusting for things like stock splits or dividends to get a true picture of historical price action.
Essential for long-term analysis. A 2-for-1 stock split cuts the price in half overnight. If you don't adjust your historical data, it looks like a massive crash.
Right, which it wasn't, proportionally.
Exactly. So adjusting for these corporate actions is non-negotiable for accurate backtesting and analysis.
And normalization if you're combining data from different sources.
Yeah, making sure everything's on a comparable scale. Plus, just ensuring you have enough historical data, a strategy tested on only 6 months of data isn't very reliable.
It all comes back to that phrase, garbage in, garbage out.
Precisely. You can have the fanciest algorithms in the world, but if you feed them bad data, you'll get bad results. Data prep is the bedrock.
Okay, clean, structured data acquired. Now we face the R word, risk.
Can't avoid it in trading.
Our sources are emphatic. Understanding and quantifying risk is paramount. So let's talk metrics. First, volatility.
Often measured by standard deviation.
Which basically tells you how much a price tends to jump around.
That's the gist of it. Higher volatility means wider price swings. It represents both risk prices can move against you quickly, but also opportunity, potentially larger gains.
So it's not inherently bad, just something to be aware of.
Exactly. And understanding an asset's volatility is crucial for setting appropriate stop losses, determining position size. Higher vol usually means wider stops and smaller positions.
Gotcha. Then there's value at risk, or VAR.
VAR.
This sounds a bit more complex. It estimates your maximum potential loss over a specific time at a certain confidence level, like 95% confident I won't lose more than X dollars tomorrow.
That's the idea. It gives you a probabilistic estimate of your downside risk, useful for capital allocation, risk budgeting.
But it's not a guarantee, right?
Absolutely not. It's based on historical data and assumptions. The actual loss could exceed the VAR figure, especially during extreme market events, those so-called black swan events. It's a guide, not a crystal ball.
Okay. And the third one, maximum drawdown, MDD.
MDD, very important.
This is the biggest drop your account value has taken from a peak to a subsequent low point.
Correct. It measures the largest percentage loss your strategy or portfolio has historically endured.
So it's like the historical worst case scenario.
In terms of a single peak to trough decline, yes. It gives you a very real sense of the potential pain involved in a strategy. Can you mentally handle seeing your account drop by that much? MDD helps you answer that.
Beyond these metrics, there's personal risk tolerance. How much risk are you actually willing and able to take?
Crucial distinction there. Willingness versus ability. You might be willing to take big risks, but can your capital actually afford those potential losses?
So you need to align your strategy with your profile, conservative, moderate, aggressive.
Absolutely. And then implement specific risk management models. Our sources mention a few key ones.
Like setting a percentage risk per trade. Never risking more than, say, 1% of your capital on one idea.
A cornerstone of capital preservation. It prevents one or two bad trades from wiping you out. Limiting losses on individual trades is absolutely fundamental.
Then position sizing.
Yeah.
Adjusting how much you trade based on volatility or maybe how confident you are.
Exactly. It's about scaling risk. A high conviction setup in a low volatility stock might warrant a slightly larger position than a speculative trade in a wild market. You adjust the size to keep the dollar risk roughly consistent.
And finally, the stop loss order. Everyone knows this one, right? Your predefined exit point if the trade goes bad.
Your safety net. It takes the emotion out of cutting losses. You decide the maximum acceptable loss beforehand, set the order, and the platform executes it automatically if that price is hit. Essential discipline.
Okay, foundation laid. Goals, data, prep, risk management. Let's talk strategies. The fun part.
Where the data meets the market.
First up, momentum trading or trend following. The basic idea is simple, right? Buy stuff that's going up, sell stuff that's going down.
Pretty much. Ride the prevailing trend. It's based on the observation that trends, once established, tend to persist for a while.
And the data tools here. Moving averages are mentioned, like the 50-day crossing above the 200-day.
Yeah, that's a classic signal. Trend lines, price channels, indicators like RSI or MACD to gauge momentum strength, and often checking trading volume for confirmation.
So an example might be buying a stock hitting a new 52-week high on really strong volume.
That's a classic momentum breakout setup, yes. The data suggests strength and potential continuation.
What's the main risk, though?
Trends end. The biggest risk is getting caught in a sharp reversal. That's why momentum traders often use trailing stops.
Ah, stops that move up as the price moves in your favor.
Exactly. They help lock in profits while still giving the trend room to run, but get you out if it reverses sharply. Important to note, those moving average crossovers are lagging indicators. They confirm a trend after it started.
Okay, good point. So strategy number two, mean reversion, basically the opposite.
Essentially, yes. Betting that prices will snap back towards an average after making an extreme move.
So if something shoots way up, you bet it'll come back down, and vice versa.
That's the core concept. It works best in markets that are trading sideways, in a range, rather than strongly trending.
Tools for this. Bollinger Bands. Trading touches of the outer bands.
That's a common technique. Or using oscillators like RSI looking for overbought readings, say above 70, to sell, or oversold readings below 30 to buy.
Statistical arbitrage, like pairs trading, also falls under this.
It can, yeah. Looking for temporary pricing anomalies between related assets and betting they'll revert to their normal relationship.
The example given is selling EURUSD if RSI is overbought and price hits the upper Bollinger band.
A typical mean reversion setup. Combining indicators to find a high probability turning point.
But the risk here is...
the price doesn't revert. What looks like an extreme might actually be the start of a powerful new trend in that direction.
Ouch. So you could be selling right before a major rally.
Precisely. That's why mean reversion strategies absolutely demand strict, tight stop losses. You have to cut losses very quickly if the price keeps going against you. It's like trying to catch that falling knife requires precision and a clear exit.
Okay, makes sense. Then we move into the more complex zone.
Yeah.
Algorithmic and machine learning strategies.
Using the machines.
Right. Yeah. Using computers to either execute predefined rules automatically or even find patterns humans might miss.
Mm-hmm. There's a distinction our sources make, which is useful.
Between rule-based algos and machine learning ones.
Exactly. Rule-based is pretty straightforward. You tell the computer, if X happens, then do Y. Like that moving average crossover bot. The logic is human-defined and transparent. Machine learning is different. The algorithm learns patterns and relationships from vast amounts of historical data. It might identify complex, nonlinear patterns that a human analyst would never spot.
But this can sometimes be a black box. You don't always know why it's making a decision.
That can be a challenge with some advanced ML models, yes. Their decision-making process isn't always easily interpretable. Examples here range from statistical arbitrage and high-frequency trading, HFT.
Exploiting tiny price differences at high speed.
To things like analyzing news headlines or social media sentiment to predict short-term price moves.
So the pros are speed, discipline, no emotions, handling complexity.
Huge amounts of data, yeah. But the cons. Technical issues, bugs, connection failures. The big one is overfitting.
Overfitting.
Building a model that performs brilliantly on the historical data it was trained on, but fails miserably on new live market data because it learned the noise, not the signal.
Like memorizing answers for a test instead of learning the concepts.
Perfect analogy. And that potential opacity or black box nature of some ML models requires really careful monitoring and validation. Plus, HFT involves serious tech infrastructure for that low latency execution.
Okay, so regardless of the strategy, momentum, mean reversion, fancy algos, there's this absolutely vital step. Backtesting. Validating the strategy.
Non-negotiable. You have to simulate how your strategy would have performed historically before risking real money.
So the process is, define your rules, crystal clear. Use good, clean historical data.
Realistic data, yeah.
Account for costs, commissions, slippage, the difference between expected and actual fill price.
Very important. Costs can kill a marginally profitable strategy.
And then analyze the results. Profit, drawdown, win rate, all that stuff.
Exactly. Get a quantitative picture of its historical performance and risk.
But there are pitfalls here, too. You mentioned overfitting or curve fitting.
Huge danger. Tweaking the rules endlessly until it fits the past data perfectly. It looks amazing in the backtest, but has zero predictive power.
And look ahead bias.
Also critical to avoid. That's inadvertently using information in your backtest simulation that wouldn't actually have been available at the time the trade would have occurred. For example, using the closing price of the day to make a decision at noon.
Agreements of validity.
Completely. So rigorous backtesting methodology is key. And our sources also mention going beyond simple backtesting things like out-of-sample testing.
Testing on data the model hasn't seen before.
Right. Or walk-forward analysis, which kind of simulates rolling the strategy forward through time. And paper trading, simulating trades in real time without real money, all add layers of validation.
Okay, so you've developed a strategy, you've backtested it rigorously, now you're trading live. What's next? Seems less glamorous. Blogging and journaling.
Huh. Less glamorous, maybe, but incredibly important. Meticulous record keeping.
So writing down every detail. Date, time, what you traded, size, entry, exit.
Yep. But also the why. What was the strategy or setup? Where were your plans, stop loss, and take profit levels?
And the outcome. Obviously, profit or loss.
Yeah.
But also your emotional state.
Crucial. Were you feeling confident? Anxious? Greedy? Did you follow your plan exactly, or did you deviate? Recording this helps you understand your psychological patterns.
So you use spreadsheets for this?
Yeah.
Or dedicated software?
Both work. The key is consistency. It transforms trading from random events into analyzable data. It's your research log.
And the whole point of this detailed log is...
Yeah, measurement.
Measurement, right.
Yeah.
Using key performance indicators, KPIs.
Exactly. You use the journal data to calculate objective metrics about your performance.
Like win rate, simple percentage of winning trades.
Mm-hmm. But that alone isn't enough.
Right, because you also need average win versus average loss.
Mm-hmm.
A 90% win rate isn't great if your average loss dwarfs your average win.
Precisely. You need to know the magnitude. Then there's overall return on investment, ROI.
Profit relative to capital.
Yeah.
And the Sharpe ratio, risk-adjusted return.
Yeah, it measures return per unit of risk, usually defined by volatility. A higher Sharpe ratio is generally better.
And expectancy. You mentioned this is key. Average profit or loss per trade.
Super important. It combines your win rate and your average win-loss ratio into a single number. If your expectancy is positive, you have a statistical edge over the long run, assuming you can execute consistently.
And maximum drawdown again, but based on your actual live trading results.
Yep. Tracking these KPIs objectively tells you if your strategy is working as expected and how well you are executing it.
Which leads perfectly into the final piece.
Oh, yeah.
The continuous improvement loop.
The feedback cycle. This is where it all comes together.
So, you trade based on your plan. You log everything diligently.
Uh-huh.
Then you analyze those KPIs and journal entries. Mm-hmm. Look for patterns. What's working well? Where are you consistently losing money?
Identify strengths, weaknesses. Maybe you notice you always mess up trades on Friday afternoons.
Exactly. That's the kind of pattern you might spot.
Yeah.
So you dig into the data. Why Fridays? Is it market behavior? Is it your behavior?
And based on that data, you refine things. Maybe tweak the strategy rules, adjust your risk management, maybe even decide not to trade on Fridays. Right. You make informed adjustments based on evidence, not just hunches. And then you repeat the cycle. Trade, log, analyze, refine.
It's an ongoing process because markets change.
Constantly. What worked last year might not work next year. This data-driven feedback loop is how you adapt and hopefully stay profitable over the long haul.
Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive into data-driven trading, it feels like the key takeaways are pretty clear.
Let's recap.
Start with those clear, smart objectives.
Yeah.
Absolutely nail down your data methodology collection, cleaning analysis.
Can't skip the prep work.
Quantify and actively manage risk. Know your metrics. Use your tools like stop losses and position sizing.
Risk management first, always.
Develop and rigorously validate your strategies, whether it's momentum, mean reversion, or something more complex. using that historical data through backtesting.
Test, test, and test again. Be skeptical.
And finally, that relentless cycle. Log everything, analyze your performance with KPIs, and use that data to continuously improve.
It's an iterative process, never stops.
It really shifts the perspective, doesn't it?
It really does. Ultimately, this encourages you to view trading less like gambling or relying on intuition and more like running a systematic business.
A business driven by data and analysis.
Exactly. And by embracing that data, that rigorous analysis, you empower yourself. You can make more informed, more rational decisions in these complex financial markets.
So the final thought we'll leave you with is this. How could incorporating a more systematic, data-driven framework change your approach to the markets? Think about moving beyond those gut feelings and really harnessing the power of the information available.
Something to definitely consider.
Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.